Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, I spent most of the evening over at the University of Central Florida, where Theater UCF invited me over to sit in on some production meetings and the first run-through for their upcoming musical, Young Frankenstein. I say that, one, because, as I've often said before, either in podcast or article form, I think that the theater community in Central Florida is great, and that the schools and the educational theater is just as good, if not sometimes better, than the professional theater in town. But I also say that because, James, we're recording a little later than normal and with a little less prep time and script writing time. So everybody out there, if we screw up, blame it on UCF.
Buckle up. Here we go. All right. First story, Mean Girls musical set for a fall 2017 opening.
Yeah, apparently in the world of Mean Girls, October 3rd is a big day. I don't exactly understand why. I'm of a generation that kind of missed the Mean Girls thing, or maybe I just missed it in general personally. But yesterday, on October 3rd, a new verified Mean Girls musical Twitter account popped up. It is actually at Mean Girls DC, and it's tweeted out, breaking October 3rd news, the Mean Girls musical is coming to Washington, D.C., fall of 2017. Hashtag Mean Girls, hashtag October 3rd, hashtag That's So Fetch, hashtag Gruel. As anybody who follows some of these developmental musicals knows, Tina Fey, who wrote the Mean Girls musical and also the Mean Girls movie and also was featured in the film, has been writing a stage adaptation alongside her husband Jeff Richman, who just so happens to be a composer. He also wrote the theme music for Tina Fey's TV show 30 Rock and The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. They've been working on it. It had kind of been pushed to the back of the burner with the success of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix, but when Kimmy Schmidt herself, Ellie Kemper, got pregnant, they had to delay the shooting of the third season, which Tina Fey said was a boon for the Mean Girls musical, and it apparently appears that they are ready to roll out the first production in just about a year. James, we've seen Freaky Friday, maybe not coincidentally, another Lindsay Lohan film being adapted into a musical down in D.C. I believe that's at the Signature Theater. So maybe this will be following in the Freaky Friday footsteps a year later. Maybe Lindsay Lohan can make an appearance at one or both of those openings. I've got my fingers crossed.
Next up in the news, Gordon Davidson, who was a theater giant out on the West Coast, has passed away. And Charles McNulty over at the LA Times and Gordon Cox from Variety wrote some good articles. So let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah, Gordon Davidson was one of the pillars and the driving forces for many decades in the Los Angeles theater community. He was the man behind the Center Theater Group. He also founded the Center Theater Group's flagship theater, the Mark Taper Forum. He had really been driving the Los Angeles theater scene since 1967. He directed 40 plays and produced over 300 shows for Center Theater Group. And he really worked that entire time all the way up until 2005 when he retired. Unfortunately, on Sunday, he passed away while having dinner with his wife at the age of 83. He was somebody who really didn't like the connotation that Los Angeles was this superficial movie business town. He really liked to push things that were artistically gratifying as well. And because of that, he worked with some of theater's preeminent artists who pushed the boundaries. He often worked with August Wilson, Tony Kushner, Anna Deavere Smith, George C. Wolfe, Oscar Eustace, all of these people who really have gone on to change the face of theater, and they owe a lot of that to Davidson. Like you said, Charles McNulty and Gordon Cox have all written eloquently about what an important figure he was to theater as a whole, to the theater community in the United States, but most specifically in Los Angeles. So he is a force and a giant in the theater community that we lost over the weekend, and his presence, especially over on the left coast, will be sorely missed.
All right, next up, we have last week's Broadway Grosses.
Yeah, we're getting to that point in the season when things start to pick up only in part because we're adding new shows. One of the shows that is probably the most anticipated for this season is the new revival of Falsettos, which opened or began performances last week. It only had four performances, but it did a fairly respectable $247,603. Not bad for its first four performances. Unsurprisingly, Hamilton continued to be at the top of the heap, the only show above $2 million. It was followed by The Lion King, Wicked, Book of Mormon, Aladdin, and rounding out the seven-figure club is a new show that I have a feeling is going to stay there for a while, The Front Page over at the Broadhurst, with just about every star you've ever heard of. Down at the other end of the scale, we do see that the lowest grossing show of the week might actually be one of the biggest grossing shows of the week, and that is because it is, again, Black to the Future. In only one performance, it did over $152,000, which if you do the math there, it's getting close to that seven-figure range as well. The Encounter, which officially opened last week, is kind of the next show with a full week that on the scale. It was just under $298,000. Some of these musicals that have been on the boards for a while are starting to get impacted by the rush of new shows. We see it. Fiddler on the Roof was down under $500,000. Chicago actually had a little bit of a bump above $500,000. Something Rotten, Matilda, The Color Purple, Kinky Boots. All of these shows are still keeping their heads above water, but aren't doing all that great when it comes to gross percentage of potential. So it'll be interesting to see how long some of these shows can hold on. Paramore kind of dropping again down to below $800,000. Cats, unfortunately, the news of Grumpy Cat joining didn't do a whole lot as it lost $41,632, one of the biggest droppers of the week in terms of musicals. On Your Feet was the biggest one overall in terms of shows that were below $1 million. Hamilton lost some money, but it went from 9 performances to 8 performances last week. On Your Feet, another one that we've continued to marvel, hasn't done as well and is still hanging on. It lost $71,802. But overall, a good week for Broadway with only adding one show, and that's Falsettos. It picked up almost $650,000 from the previous week and is up 7.53% from 2015. So, James, again, positive numbers, some negative numbers for some old reliable musicals, but as a whole, I think this has to be considered a positive, especially with the really wonky summer that we saw in terms of the grosses.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that it probably has something to do with the very beautiful weather that we've been having here in New York. So I think that people are here and they're out and they're seeing shows, and that's always a good thing before we have the mean, terrible, rotten winter.
Well, the one show that I'm going to caution people to keep an eye out for, and it's one we talked about before, and this is Holiday Inn. Even though we know that it has roundabout subscriber base still to come, other than Fiddler on the Roof, which has already announced the December 31st closing date, it had the lowest percentage of gross potential at under 38.5%. It only grossed $363,475. And I know that once the show opens, some of the subscribers are going to be coming in. But with numbers like that, you've got to wonder if it's actually going to make it to the holiday season that the show celebrates so much.
Yeah. So next up, somebody who we've talked about before, Damian Bazzadona at the South by South Lawn.
Yeah, this is a South by South Lawn. If you are familiar with South by Southwest, which is one of the preeminent music and entertainment festivals in Austin, Texas every year, President Obama decided, why let Austin, Texas have all the fun? So he initiated the South by South Lawn Festival. It is subtitled a White House Festival of Ideas, Art, and Action. It was attended by entrepreneurs, people from the tech field, as well as folks from the arts. So it was a really interesting combination of people who were leading in some very different areas of expertise. But as we've talked about with Damian Bazzadona, he likes to blend some of these technology, entrepreneurial, and artistic visions. So, James, I know this was something that you sent over to me. He actually posted it on Huffington Post over the weekend, but yesterday was the actual South by South Lawn. So what you read through this, and this was something that really jumped out to you, what did you think about Damian's approach to this event?
Well, you know, he's such a much bigger thinker than I am. So I just sit in awe of the things that he's doing, because, you know, I think in terms of Broadway, and he's thinking in terms of globally, of, you know, bringing arts to the globe and not just 40th Street to 50th Street and from 6th Avenue to 9th Avenue. You know, it's really wonderful. And this is why Situation Interactive is one of the leading agencies, not only just in Broadway, but in the world right now.
Yep.
All right. What's up in the show and casting news?
Well, earlier this month, or maybe it was late last month, we talked about the fact that Molly Ringwald was going to be coming to an off-Broadway production of Terms of Endearment beginning at 59 East 59th on October 29th. Well, yesterday we found out who the next star would be, and that's an actress named Hannah Dunn, who, if you are familiar with the Amazon TV show Mozart in the Jungle, which I know is a favorite amongst theater folks because it's not necessarily about theater, but it is about a fictitious New York symphony. And most importantly, it co-stars one Bernadette Peters. Hannah Dunn plays the lead character's friend on the show. She will be making her stage debut opposite Molly Ringwald. Dan Gordon adapted James L. Brooks' screenplay of the film that became an Oscar winner in the 80s. The rest of the cast will be announced later. They're looking for the male lead, which was originally played by Jack Nicholson. So that should be fun. I'm excited to see who they round this cast out with, because it looks like they're going with some fairly decent names. It'll be fun to see who they throw in there.
That's going to be really, really exciting. And I can't wait to see it, because they're just piling talent on top of talent there.
In another show and casting story, James, this one is going to be kind of the bane of my existence, because as I have explained, when it comes to Irving Berlin musicals about the holidays, I can't keep White Christmas and Holiday Inn straight. Now we have Holiday Inn running on Broadway. Hopefully it makes it to the holiday season. But of course, it's getting close to Christmas. So yesterday, producers announced that there will be a new national tour of Irving Berlin's White Christmas, the musical. It doesn't help that these shows share some songs, including White Christmas, but I get confused every time. The show will feature Sean Montgomery as Bob Wallace, Jeremy Benton as Phil Davis, who is leaving the off-Broadway production of Cagney to be a part of this. Carrie Conti will play Betty Haynes, and Kelly Sheehan as Judy Haynes. The show is also going to feature Lorna Luft. So anytime you can see Lorna Luft on stage, that is something you need to do. We will have a link in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com so you can check out where the tour will be going. It's going to all different parts of the country, from Bloomington, Indiana, to Las Vegas, to Los Angeles, Sacramento, Salt Lake City, a bunch of other places. So check that out to see when and where it is coming to a theater near you.
All right. In other great news, Broadway's Kyle Dean Massey and Taylor Fry tie the knot.
They did. Over the weekend, Kyle and Taylor got married in Palm Springs, California, according to UK's Daily Mail. The longtime couple turned to social media to share photos from the joyous occasion. Most people know Kyle Dean Massey from Pippin, from Wicked, Next to Normal, and Xanadu. Of course, if you watch TV a little more than you get to the Broadway theater, you might have also seen him as Kevin, the out gay songwriter on the TV show Nashville. His new husband, Taylor Frey, was seen on Broadway and How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying and Finian's Rainbow, and he's going to be in a new movie called Summertime coming up. So congratulations to those two crazy kids. Go have a great honeymoon. Don't do anything that James wouldn't do.
Hey, did they have the best damn band in the land saluting them?
Them in the collective sense, like the Queen Victoria, them, but the best damn band in the land, the Ohio State University Marching Band. It was our homecoming this weekend. I did not go back for my homecoming court reunion. Every 5 years, they invite the previous homecoming courts back. I did not go. It's been 15 years. Damn it, I'm old. But for homecoming, I feel like they were thinking of me, even though I wasn't there, because they did do an entire 10-minute halftime show saluting Broadway shows. This has already been tweeted out by the likes of Kristen Chenoweth and Lin-Manuel Miranda, mainly because they open up with a salute to Wicked. They follow it up with a salute to Spamalot, and then they do a whole section on Hamilton, and then they followed up with some other stuff. So it's really cool. If you haven't seen the Ohio State Marching Band, they do some really inventive stuff with their I don't know, is that choreography? I'm not a marching band guy, but with their movements, they've been known to make Michael Jackson moonwalk and for a horse to run across the field. This time, they may or may not have made a flying monkey take off in the middle of the horseshoe in Columbus. So we'll have a video to that in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com as well. But it made my Ohio State obsessive Broadway loving heart very proud for the best damn band in the land, also known as Tbiddle, to dip their toe into Broadway.
All right, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway and suffering through us as we poked around in the dark. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you so much for spending some of your Tuesday with us, and we'll be back and talk with you tomorrow.